Good morning. I love that God's people love talking to each other. It is a wonderful thing. And later we're going to get to pray for each other as we have our prayer and care later in the service today. Folks, today we are here to spend some time in the presence of our God. And not just any God, but the Trinity. The triune God, the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, every once in a while, politicians trot out a speech where they say something like, well, you know, the Christian God, the Muslim God, the Jewish God, they're all just, you know, there's different names for the same God. And I beg to differ, because if you start talking to the Jewish people or to the Muslim people about the Trinity, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three gods in one, you know, that the Son is all of God, not part of God. The Father is all of God, not part of God. The Spirit is all of God, not part of God. Yet there are not three gods, but one God. They do not agree. Unfortunately, we talk about in the Athanasian Creed, and we say, if you don't understand this teaching, the teaching of the Trinity, you cannot be saved. And we'll talk about that some more in the sermon. But this is Trinity Sunday. The day when we remember not just that we are here for God, but that we are here to worship the God, three in one, the God who saved us. And so let us begin this service, remembering the day that his name was spoken over us in our baptism, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O Lord, we come before you to listen to your words. To reflect upon your truth. Lord, help us to cast aside anything that would pull us away. And help us to just be present with you. Amen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You are here. Turn Waymaker, Good morning. My name is Andrew Torsher. I am one of your elders here at St. Mark's. Our first scripture reading for today is Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. And as you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
Good morning. Bagak? No. Have you guys ever done something embarrassing? I haven't yet. But when something's embarrassing, it's kind of hard to do, right? Like, maybe you go to grandma or grandma's house on Easter, and you are supposed to go say hi to some relatives you don't see all the time, and you're kind of uncomfy, and you're a little shy, and you're a little embarrassed, and you don't want to do it. It can be hard sometimes, right? But it's always best if you do it anyway, if you know it's something you should do. Well, the disciples were supposed to do something that made them a little nervous. So Jesus died, right? Rose again, and then ascended into heaven, leaving his disciples behind. And what did he tell his disciples to go do? Tell everyone about Jesus. Right after he left, he said, okay, you know how they just killed me and they didn't really like me? Now I need you to go tell everyone about me and say that you love me and that you're with me. Do you think they were a little embarrassed to go tell a bunch of strangers about that? But they did it anyway, right? Sometimes it's a little embarrassing to have to do some things like sitting in a chicken suit in front of the entire church as an elder. That can be embarrassing, but even though things can be embarrassing, you can get through and do them anyway. You guys are just coming out of school and going to do something really fun this week at VBS. Anyone going to VBS this week? Very exciting. We're going to talk more about that later, but VBS is such an awesome time. And it's a ton of fun outside of talking about Jesus, which is very important and fun. There's tons of fun games and stuff. It's a great opportunity to invite friends and tell your friends about Jesus. But isn't it a little bit embarrassing sometimes to talk to your friends about Jesus and invite them to go do things? But wouldn't it be better to do it anyway? They'd have such a fun time and they get to hear about Jesus. So even when some things are embarrassing, just like the disciples did, you guys should still tell people about Jesus, because at the end of the day, that's what's best for them. Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this amazing church that we have, that you have given us your Holy Spirit to make the embarrassing things possible. Please give us your energy as we go in through this VBS week, as we will all need it, and help it to be a blessed week reaching out to many. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, it is now time for little worship. So all the kids, if you guys, as long as it's okay with mom and dad, can meet at the cross in the center aisle, and you guys are going off for your own lesson. And the rest of us are meeting here. All right. So who is listening for the first reading today? Jesus did something crazy. He left them alone. Parents, you know what this is like, right? You want to have a date, you want to leave, you want to go do something with just the two of you, and you leave the kids alone. Nothing bad has ever happened when you leave the kids alone. My mother lost an entire set of china once when she left us alone. It was an accident, in my defense. Anyway, thing is Jesus, I mean, to give you an idea exactly how bad of an idea Jesus' idea was in the first reading for today, when he was about to go into heaven and he turns to these disciples, and let me remind you, he knows these people. He's been with them for years. They are creatively clueless. You know, I mean, Peter speaks when he shouldn't. Straight up, when Jesus is trying to tell him how he's going to die on the cross for all people, Peter pulls him aside and says, "Stop talking like that." Okay, that's not okay. You know, this is the God of heaven and earth revealing his will to the disciples, and Peter says, "Shut up. You're freaking people out." Okay, not okay. Peter's also the guy that just, like, amazingly, he gets the job, Peter, the rock, because of this incredible confession he gives when Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Son of God, the Messiah, the one. And it's like, Jesus is like, yes, you got it for one moment. You got it, right? But then Peter's also the one that later denies Christ. Urgh. These guys are the ones that Jesus leaves alone and says, I have a job for you to do. Your job is to speak the gospel, to speak the salvation that I have earned by my suffering and death and resurrection. This gospel that the Father has planned out and prepared the world for since mankind fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. This gospel is now your task to share. Don't screw it up. How's that going to work? I mean, do you know us? I mean, we mess up a lot of stuff. We get distracted. We get selfish. We often are not the best examples by any means. We in our lives do not bring glory to God. We in our weak and fallenness, in the moment when the faith can be shared, we wimp out and just stay silent. We don't do this well. What was God thinking? And you got to go back all the way to the Old Testament to see exactly how bad it is. I mean, you know, God created all mankind in the garden, right? And the Father gives them some rules and they fail. And then their kids commit the first murder. Then the world continues to degrade to the point that God just says, wait, I got to stop all this. And he sends the flood on the world and redeems just one family, saves one family, and immediately they do horrible things. And then he, in his plan to save all people, selects one man out of all the people on earth, not because he was specifically worthy, but because God chose him. He chose Abraham. And he said, you are going to be the one. Through you, I will rescue my people. You will become great nations. And through one of those nations, my son will come, my Messiah, the one who I will send to redeem all people. They will come. Abraham was not perfect. His son Isaac, not perfect. Jacob was a real schnook. Joseph got most things right. And then we have the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, going into the land. They were just been freed, rescued from Egypt by this amazing, miraculous plagues that finally the Pharaoh let them go and then changed his mind. And then God sacked Pharaoh's army with the water. And it was an amazing story. And the children of Israel are like, we are free. We are out in the wilderness. The God is on the mountain, and it's powerful, and it's amazing, and let's make a golden calf. What? I mean, this is how messed up people are. We are sinful, we are weak, we are a mess, and God and Jesus left his disciples but did he leave them alone? Before he left, he said, listen, please go to the city and stay there until your babysitter comes. All right, because you guys can't be trusted alone. I mean, you guys are a mess. But let me show you how good I am. Let me show you how powerful God is. Let me show you how, I always say, you know, and I say this jokingly because often I don't have the right tool to fix something. And I always say a real mechanic can fix it with the wrong tool. All right? Well, God is the real mechanic because he can fix the world through me and through you. And you know what a miracle that is. I mean, just stop and think about you. Think about the places you've been, the decisions you've made, the messes you've made, the people you've hurt, the opportunities you've chickened out of, the all of the things that make you, all of the history that you're carrying, and just understand that the same Holy Spirit that came upon Peter on that first Pentecost came upon you in your baptism. And that's not a small thing. Because that wuss Peter, the guy who always said the wrong thing and always in the wrong place and denied Jesus and was hiding in the upper room just days ago, all of a sudden stood up and gave the most amazing message. So amazing that 3,000 people were saved in one day. And let me tell you, that was not because of a loudmouth fisherman from Galilee. It was because that loudmouth fisherman from Galilee was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit himself put words in his mouth, helped him to understand the things that had just not made sense to him for the longest time, and enabled him, that's not even right, he got out of the way, made himself available for God to use, and let God speak through him. You understand? I want you to get how passive Peter is in this. I want you to understand, it's not that Peter didn't work, it's not that he didn't learn, it's not that he didn't study, but he alone, on his own, would not have been capable of doing the ministry that God had given to him, that God laid before him. He could not do it. Understand, this is the story of who God is. The Father created when we fell into sin. He loved us too much to let us go. And he planned and he prepared. The Jewish people, when they look at the Old Testament, all they see is the history of the Father, God's action throughout history with his people. But in the sermon that Peter gave, he wanted them to understand the Old Testament is more than that. It is a history of the Father's action. It is the story of the individuals that went before us in faith, but it is also all about Jesus. That the parts that we look at and say, you know, David is praying and he's saying, God, rescue me, but I know you're going to rescue me because you will not let your Holy One see decay. And the Jewish people say, see, David was basically saying God's going to save his life. And Peter was saying, no. That's not what David was saying. What David was saying is, I know that I will be redeemed. I know that I will be saved because there is one coming who, though he will die, his body will not see decay because he will be raised again. That the Old Testament is not just a record of God's past action, but a prediction and it's all about preparing the people of God for the coming of God. And when that one came, he explained to us to the people who were there at the time and to us through their writings, all of the ways explained how the Old Testament connects to what Jesus did and how it was the predictor of all the things that Jesus did and how Jesus carried out the Father's plan of redemption by dying on the cross for us, taking our guilt, paying our price, redeeming us, and giving us new life. And then he sends the Holy Spirit. And through that Spirit, we believe. Because of the gift, because of the power of God himself, we are granted faith. And through that faith, we receive life. And in that life, we live for the one who made us, redeemed us, and saved us. And because he knows we don't have the ability to do any of those things, the Spirit even gives us that. That he, in his power and majesty, gives us opportunities. He gives us abilities. He gives us words to say. He works through us. Now, again, I'm telling you, a lot of you guys are like going, you know, Pastor, you just had us look at ourselves and see how unbelievably incapable I am. I am not capable. I have done too many things wrong. I don't have the ability to speak. What if I say something wrong and somebody ends up going to hell because I speak the gospel wrong? It would be better if I say nothing at all. I'll just sit here. You know what? Maybe I'll invite somebody to church and let you say it to them. Here's what I'm telling you. It's not about you. It wasn't about Peter. 3,000 people weren't saved on that first day because Peter was such an incredible guy. It was the God working in and through Peter that made Peter able to do the work that God laid in front of him. And here's the thing. What is God laying in front of you, and what are you afraid to do? And should you be afraid to do it? Because is it about you? Do you really, 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 truly believe that you are such an inept tool that God can't use you? I mean, what does that say about God? What does that say about our faith in God? What does that say about our image of God? If we believe that God is so weak that he cannot use you to do his work in the world. It's not about you. It's about, are you willing to be used? Are you willing to get out of the way? Are you willing to wear a chicken suit in church? You know what I'm saying? Are you willing to do the crazy thing that God says to do? If God's nudging you to go out on the road and meet a chariot with an Ethiopian eunuch in it, would you go? Or would you just say, you know what? I might make a mistake. I'll stay home. God, you picked the wrong person. Does God pick the wrong person? And this is what we have to remember. Folks, God has given us a mission. He has given us a calling. He has given us work to do. He has given us people. God says, the fields are ready. The harvest is ripe. Where are my workers? Somebody has to go out into the field and harvest. Somebody has to go out and tell people about Jesus. Somebody has to go pray with them and help them. Somebody has to walk with them through the difficulties of life. Somebody has to build the relationship through which the faith can be shared. Somebody has to go. And the question I got is, why not? I often feel bad because so many people don't feel what it's like to be in ministry. They don't feel the humble, amazing, meaningful, eternal work that is out there to do. But there's no reason that you would miss it because you don't have to be a pastor to do it. You just have to be willing to put yourself out there, do the study, read books, read the Bible, be in church, go to Bible study, do all those things, of course, because we want to prepare ourselves, right? But in the moment, trust. Trust in the God who The God who is big enough to redeem you from sin and death and the devil and hell, right? That God is big enough to carry you through the situations and the ministries. He's big enough to help you to love those really difficult to love people. He's big enough to give you the words to say. He's big enough to help you to remember in just the right time. He is big enough. It's all about him. And are we willing to be used by him? On this Trinity Sunday, we have a God who prepared us for salvation. God who gave us faith. Let us live this new life that he has given us, to live it out with enthusiasm, creativity, and willingness to do whatever he lies in front of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord. Work through us. Work in us. Give us courage. Make us willing. Help us to worship you, Lord, in everything we do. Help us to bring you glory in every opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for making us your children, for giving us life. Help us live it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Together we profess our shared faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite everyone forward who's going to be helping out with VBS for our VBS commissioning.
So, my dear friends, all of you who are standing up front, are you ready to serve this week? And let me tell you what that means. We are going to have 300 kids here. All those 300 kids are going to have to be taught songs, lessons, do art projects, and play outside without dying. Are you volunteering to do this work for God? Yes. Are you crazy?
Yes.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, today in the sermon we talked about doing really hard things, right? This is one of them. It is something that we don't take on ourselves alone. It is not something we take lightly. This is what we are called to do. This is the like the belly button, the very, very center of the Christian walk is that we pass on the faith to the children, right? So it's incredibly important and also challenging and exhausting. I mean, every single time, especially by Friday, when we go home at lunchtime, our day is over. We're exhausted, right? But remember the one that makes it work. The one who makes it work is the God that we serve. The one that makes it work is the God that is going to work through us, who is going to give us words to say, give us the patience necessary. He is going to do everything to make it possible for us to serve him this week. And so here's my question, not just are you willing, because those children are adorable, and of course we're willing, but here's the thing. Are you willing to make yourself available to God? To let him work through you? To depend on him for everything that you need to do this week, to let him be your strength and your guide just as he is your Savior. Are you willing to do that? Outstanding. Let's pray, because we got to depend on him. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are the God of all. You are the one worthy of all of our worship and praise and sacrifice and work. Lord, you are the one. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified through us this week, that your children would hear your voice, that they would hear your gospel, that they would be grown in their faith or even brought to faith through the words and the work that we do this week, Lord. Lord, you are great, greatly to be praised. Let this entire event of Vacation Bible School, Lord, bring glory and praise to you. Be our strength. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, I am so excited about this week. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. I have a lot of favorite weeks, but this is one of my favorite weeks of the year. I'm excited to see what God will do, and I am so grateful that all of you are along for the ride.
All right. Well, about once a quarter, and today is that day, we have a wonderful opportunity that we call Prayer and Care, and that's where each of you have an opportunity to come forward and receive just a private time of prayer. While Pastor Bob and I are always happy to have these times at any point throughout any week, this is a time during this service. And so we have a couple people stationed back there if you'd like to go pray in the prayer chapel, or I know myself and some other people will be up here if you'd like to come up here and pray and just tell us what's going on in your life. What's going on that you'd appreciate some prayers for? And then after listening to you, then we pray with you right there. And it's a wonderful opportunity for the body of Christ to come together and serve each other. And so that's what we're going to do now. So I invite anybody else who's going to be coming up and helping out with being one of my prayer people up here to come forward now, and we'll get started.
Thank you. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you
please stand as we continue with the prayers of the day. O Lord our God, your greatness is too great for us to comprehend, and yet you have come to us in ways that we can understand. Lord, we pray that you would give us opportunities to share your love with other people, to guide us to the words to say when those opportunities arise. Lead us by your Spirit, that we can share your truth to those who desperately need to hear it. Lord, we pray for all those who mourn the loss of Kenneth Rago, the father of Mona Kapkovic. Pray that you grant them comfort, knowing that Kenneth is with you. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would be with Zina Chimdi. We thank you that the hole in her heart is shrinking, and pray that she continues to recover. Pray that she would be made whole. Lord, I pray for David Hahn and give thanksgiving that his surgery went well. Pray for continued healing, strength, and patience in his time of recovery. We also pray for Vicki Johnson after she is recovering from knee surgery. We pray for continued healing, strength, and patience for her as well. Lord, this day we also pray for our synodical and our Missouri district leadership. We pray that they would seek ever to follow you, to follow where your Spirit guides them, that they might be messengers of hope. All this we pray in Jesus' name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Before time, we are revenge.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from this table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. Upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, our God, you reign.
Please be seated. Thank you again for joining us in worship. I'd like to dismiss any children who are going to Sunday school to go ahead and meet our DCE Lauren Bates in the back. But a couple quick announcements. One, I'd appreciate your help. Again, as you can tell, we have Vacation Bible School happening next week. So one thing that'd be very helpful is if all of you be willing to help with grabbing the Bibles that are in front of you. These two sections can go into the prayer chapel, and these two sections can go over into the nursery there. And that just really helps us out because we want them all pulled. As well, if anyone is willing to help out after we get the communion cups out, the communion rails kind of all need to be pulled and kind of put in the back wall. That would be helpful. Lastly, we do have Bible study today. Pastor Bill is going to be continuing his study in Ephesians with Ephesians chapter 2 today. So there's a question about these black folders. Yes, please take those too. I know I didn't mention them, but that would be very helpful. No, go ahead and take the story Bibles as well. Just basically less for kids to get tempted to mess around with and get distracted with is kind of the idea here. Yes. We have Camilla's tomorrow being the first Monday. I guess, yes. Then there's Camilla's Dying to Donate happening. Thank you. Anyone else have something I forgot? Because this happens. Yes. Wonderful. All right. Thank you all for your help, and have a blessed week. Thank you so much for joining us.